always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
Vic Porcelli.
Come on, you're Italian. You understand.
Every day is a busy day all of a sudden.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Tough and smart. And I love Italian, so you know. He's definitely Italian.
At least I have this show to come and talk about it and let some stuff up.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
The Vic Porcelli Show.
All right, thank you very much. Jim Modlin, that's Jim Modlin, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I'm Vic Porcelli. That over there is Ken Williams. We got another great hour of stuff coming your way here. And lots of stuff to talk about, like, fakes, cheap fakes, stuff like that. Are you ready?
Are you?
I'm ready. Are you ready, Phil?
Former Speaker of the House.
You just proved why you left-wing loons are so insane.
Y'all ready for this?
Tim Jones. I have two favorite things about Tim Jones. First of all, you left-wing loons. I love when he says you left-wing loons. And the thing that is spoken by your voice, Mr. Speaker, every hour of your show, the further away from Election Day you have voting, the more chance you have for people to commit fraud. I just love that line so much.
Well, hey, fellas, good morning and a very happy, hot, steamy hump day to all y'all.
Yes, we were just talking about that. It's not only a dry hump day, it's a hot
He's in a dry hump day under partly sunny skies.
Sounds much more exciting when it's a hot dry
hump. What do you do on a hot, steamy hump day? I don't know what you guys do, but you know.
But Ken brought up a good point. If you dry hump in the winter, it gets hot at times, I guess. I don't
know. All right, climate change.
Listen,
climate change.
Mr. Speaker, I got a question for you because the things we see on a national level and the federal level, just, you know, we shake our heads like, come on, really? When Barack Obama grabbed Joe Biden by the hand, let him off like he was a three-year-old. Karine Jean-Pierre says, oh, that was a
deep fake.
Cheap.
Deep fake.
No, not deep. It was cheap.
Cheap
fake.
Cheap fake.
And cheap fake. It was done by the right wing and this and that.
Is that like her wig? Is that what her, like her wig? Her wig's a cheap fake?
Cheap fake.
I think she's a cheap fake.
But is that racist?
No. She's a cheap fake. She's stupid. Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm just checking.
But does that kind of stuff happen on a state level? Like when you were speaker, did you see people accusing you of things that clearly you didn't do or your party didn't do?
Every day.
Okay.
Absolutely. If you go back, I mean, it would be so much fun for Vic Porcelli and Ken Williams to be covering the Speaker Tim Jones speakership, because you guys would be a nice counterbalance to all the left-wing loons and the haters. And the haters and the disinformation that came out weekly, if not daily, about me, courtesy of the Kansas City Red Star, the St. Louis Post Disgrace, the Springfield Misleader, and the rest of the horrible newspapers around the state. We now have this thing called it's so hilarious, the inappropriately named Missouri Independent. The Missouri Independent is nothing more. Hey, guess what? Talk about synchronicity with what we often mention here on a radio station about certain other radio stations. The Missouri Independent is nothing more than a Soros-funded stuff rag. Can I say that?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Don't you cuss on this radio.
He's okay.
It's nothing more than a Soros-funded rag that it masquerades as independent journalism. All the people that they hired. So, and it really is, guys, and it's part of a network, just like what Soros is doing with the radio stations around the country, unfortunately. And look, we're sad about that. It's horrible, but we're going to point out which of our competitors, of course, are.
Yes,
Soros,
you bet your ass.
97.1. But anyway, Soros did the same thing with newspapers, guys, a decade ago. So I'm very concerned about a foreign, didn't the left used to get upset when they thought, or no, they didn't think, that they made up that Donald Trump was colluding with foreign agents?
Yeah.
So we have a foreign agent here, George Soros, who is known, his claim to fame and his billionaire wealth has come from destroying nations. He's like the Thanos. He's like the real live Thanos of planet Earth, right? He's a currency manipulator. That's how he made his bid. No one, you know, how nobody ever talks about that? The left doesn't even talk about Soros at all because he really is the Sith Lord, really. He really is the emperor of all things left wing, dark, and evil.
He looks like him too.
And he kind of does. I just watched that this weekend.
Give me I don't know what you guys are talking about. Move on.
So Soros comes into the U.S. about a decade ago and either buys or creates these newspapers out of whole cloth, like out of nowhere. And he largely just created them. Like the Missouri Independent didn't exist, Vic, like 5 years ago.
Wow.
Soros created. And there's like 23 or 24 of them. They're all conveniently located in state capitals around the country, largely in red state capitals, to provide the independent analysis of what GOP majorities and supermajorities are doing. So what Soros has done very craftily, cunningly, and he's done it well. I he's evil and he's horrible, but he's done it well in the print world. He's now doing in the media world as well. And so, Vic, when we say that CNN, the Commie News Network, and MSNBC are the communications arms of the Democratic Party, I mean, that's true. It's not Pollyannish. It's not hyperbole. These people are one and the same. You can look at the same subject on any given day, and you can absolutely see a left-wing liberal slant where they will say things like, Joe Biden is just fine. He's the spitting image of a 22-year-old Olympian, and he hasn't lost his step or his fastball. And then you look at another story from a more legitimate outfit, and they actually point out, as you guys have been doing all morning, that he had another catatonic Joe Biden brain fart right in the middle of a speech yesterday.
Yep.
Like, guys, where did he go? Where did he go? Did he go off to the planet Zod for like a few seconds? I mean, he disappeared and started speaking some language of which I'm not aware of.
I think he was actually trying to introduce Mayorkas at the time and couldn't think of Mayorkas' name. Anyway, you're not going to get the full introduction. So Chris Arps, your buddy, your partner, forwarded us all a Newsmax article, and the headline is FCC Fast-Tracking Soros Radio Takeover.
Yes. I mean, of course, why wouldn't all of these agencies, all of these Joe Biden agencies, these left-wing, liberal, regressive agencies who do not want the institutions of the United States of America to continue to exist or to flourish or to prosper or to carry on? Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they fast track it? When you look at some of the things that we don't talk about, because they're complicated, they're complex, they're behind closed doors, they're in the giant marble bureaucratic hallways of Washington, D.C., are the most nefarious. The damage that the country is being subjected to, courtesy of the FTC, the FCC, and some of these other alphabet soup agencies, I mean, we're going to need another 24 years of Donald Trump to straighten out. So, yes, Tim just said Donald Trump's never leaving office.
You know, it's incredible to me. And here's the cool thing, okay? And this is a little bit, I guess, inside baseball, maybe not, I don't know. So when we signed on the air, all the experts on the radio chat message boards, you know, were like, oh, they'll never make it. You know, they don't have any money behind them and all that stuff. Well, guess what? The independent station here with 18 employees, and that's it, are the ones that'll never be touched by George Soros.
Yeah.
Unlike you guys' old station.
And that, exactly. And the thing about that, Tim, is, and you'll remember this, Timmy, I left there before all that happened because they were going woke anyway, and they were trying.
Oh, you had had enough.
They were telling me to do stuff, and I'm like, okay, I got to leave now. So, you know.
Well, we had to do the modules about how white and racist we are every day.
Unconscious bias training.
From HR. And,
yeah.
I know. Ken just finally threw his hands up and had to go. I didn't blame him, and I wasn't long behind him. But you know, this is what happens in the new woke weirdo world, right? And this is why this election is so important. And this is why, guys, they are losing their minds, right? I mean, that CNN analyst that I know we've played, all of us have played this week, who was like, oh my God, black people are voting for Donald Trump and Republicans.
Yeah.
Like, how dare they leave the electoral plantation? And yeah, Ken, to your point earlier, let's remember that today's celebration would not be possible but for your Republican Party who freed the slaves. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
While the Democrats continue to keep all minorities enslaved on the electoral plantation. There you go. That'll make the left light their hair on fire. So yeah, what they're losing their minds because they're seeing people. And as your last guest mentioned, having this awakening, especially in the younger ranks, thank goodness. I will thank God for that. Yes, I will thank God
for that
because
thanks, God.
It's not taking his name in vain. Thank you very much for some divine intervention because we had all pretty much given up on these younger generations. Well, I will tell you that in my daughter is 19. My oldest daughter is 19. I am seeing it in her generations. They're having an awakening. They're realizing that all of this secular materialism with the advent of the iPhone, nothing against the iPhone. I use it every day. It's wonderful. But replacing your purpose here on earth with technology, material things, which are transient versus thinking about why we're here in the first place and what we should be doing to leave it a better place for the generations behind us as we prepare for the great beyond and, you know, hopefully eternal salvation. You know, I think those generations are having that. They're having that awakening in a spiritual way, in a theological way. And guys, what do we always say? Politics is downstream from culture. So it takes a little while for it to get into the political realm, if I'm making any sense. They have to have the spiritual, the theological, the philosophical, the cultural awakening first. And I think they are. You're seeing revivals with young people going on for days. It happened last year in the Commonwealth of Kentucky.
Yeah.
You're seeing all these turning point events with the young people, right, all across the country. You're seeing it. And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're black, brown, you know, green or purple, because we don't put people in little race boxes, right? We say everyone is part of this experiment. And that's why if we have that awakening, that theological, spiritual, cultural, philosophical, cultural awakening, the politics eventually will turn as well back towards some semblance of sanity.
We are talking to our great friend, former Speaker of the House and current good-looking afternoon guy, Speaker Tim Jones. So Ken gave me a story this morning about some new EPA rule that's about to go into effect that is called a death sentence for American energy. And the state that'll be hit the hardest is Pennsylvania. I mean, that Pennsylvania went to Biden in 2020 was ridiculous anyway, right? When they didn't forget that Hillary Clinton in 2016 said that they're going to shut down all the coal mines. Yep, that's Hillary murderer Clinton right there. By the way, Ken and I are not suicidal. We are not suicidal.
No, okay. We're not at all.
But here's the thing.
When you say that, I always think of the other sounder. You guys have when she's coming out of the woods.
Hildebeest. Yeah. That's when she,
yeah.
She transforms out of her humanoid form into her. Oh, there she is now.
Oh, there she is. Woke her up.
Well, you called her. You summoned her, Tim.
Sorry. Put her back.
Stop saying her name. She won't show up. All right. But
let's say three times backwards.
Right. This EPA thing. It seems to me like I think the Democrats know they're going to lose. And I think they know they're going to lose big. So do you think their plan is to squeeze in as many of these crazy rulings as possible before the election so they can get them in and Donald Trump can't do anything about it when he becomes president or can he? I don't know. You tell me.
No, the answer is yes. Next question. Okay. No, in all seriousness. No, Vic, you just bullseyed another horrible alphabet agency, three-letter agency. Yeah, the EPA. How could we forget the EPA? The EPA, the organization. I mean, and isn't it funny, guys? Don't all the federal, many of the federal agencies embody the very character of Ed Stoyt, right? The Environmental Protection Agency usually does the opposite. Right? The Environmental Protection Agency, all these alphabet soup agencies, they usually do the opposite of what they're supposed to do in name.
Yep.
It's the protection agency in name only. The EPA is famous or infamous for some of the most notorious toxic environmental disasters in our nation's history. Don't believe me? Look it up. They literally turned a river in Colorado orange a few decades ago because they accidentally did something through some ruling or some stupid action, probably to, you know, allegedly save the three-eyed horned-toed fish. And it turned this river orange in Colorado because of toxic chemicals that were dumped into it. So the EPA over the last decade or so and you probably remember talking about this in the past. They tried to crush the American family farmer. Remember the Waters of America Act or whatever it was called. Once again, they call these things something to make them sound nice, cozy and cuddly and cute, but they actually do destruction. They were going to pass some act to basically give the EPA regulatory authority over any body of water anywhere in the country, no matter how big or how small. So they could basically say that a puddle on a farmer's property was governable by the EPA as navigable waters, right? Because how does the federal government get into a state, a region, a locality, and someone's personal property if it has nothing to do with arguably with interstate commerce? Well, you say that they have navigable waters, right? Navigable waters are under the auspices of the federal government. So they basically said any water anywhere, whether it's a stream, a rivulet, a pool, or a pond, pond's good for you. What?
Caddyshack reference. Go ahead.
They're going to be able to regulate it, guys, right? So that way they could tell the small family farmer in Southwest Missouri what to do with their farm, how much food they're going to grow, when they're going to grow it, whether they're going to grow food or not. And basically you get more and more people hooked and otherwise proud, independent, conservatarian, probably libertarian, don't tread on me, leave me alone, rural farmer. That's how you get them hooked on the government largesse. First you have to have the regulatory power over them, and then you take turns going back and forth, feeding them with the carrot and then beating them with the stick. If all
anything
those analogies
they say,
make sense.
I know is complete opposite.
Yes.
All right, Tim.
So with this new thing, Ken or Vic. I forget who runs the show.
I'm just going to go home. I'm just going to leave. I'm going to go.
I'm teasing. Hey, I heard something this morning, Vic, that definitely proves that you and I are Italian brothers from another mother.
Yeah, what's that?
I'm a Yankees fan, too.
All right.
Cardinals, National League, Yankees, American League.
Tim, right? I'm so there
you
with
you. You only cheer for winners, you know? You only cheer for winners because winners win.
I've been in this market for 31 years. Hoping and praying for a Cardinal-Yankee World Series, which has never happened.
Yes, me too.
Yankees have been in the World Series since. Cardinals have been in the World Series, never against each other. Because if that happens, I want to get a ticket and go to the game and wear a Yankee jacket and a Cardinal hat, right? I'll be the first thing the camera goes on. Here's this guy. I don't know who he wants to root for. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So well, I'll go with you. No, but to capstone your question, Vic, yes, all these alphabet soup three-letter agencies, they're designed for one thing and one thing only, to exert power over the American people. The left doesn't care about philosophy. They don't care about any of the things I mentioned earlier that the younger generations, I think, are starting to check out and get into. They care about political power. They don't care about Juneteenth. They don't care about black and brown people. They don't care about minorities. They don't care about anything except keeping themselves in power.
Yep.
They believe they are the haves and the rest of us shall have not.
All right. We'll leave on this note, Tim. I'm sure you saw Chuck Schumer put a raw burger on the grill and then put the cheese on the raw burger. There's a picture of a raw burger with cheese on it. And the caption is, the people calling you a conspiracy theorist cook their burgers like this.
I was out at Johnny's Hideout the other day, and I asked Johnny Dallas for the famous Chuck Schumer special. He almost threw me out of the joint.
That is so funny. I'm surprised he didn't throw it just for mentioning his name. All right, 4 to 6 o'clock this afternoon. And looking forward to seeing your show and listening to your show on the day of the debate.
Yes,
you and Chris
sir.
Will be out there at Johnny's Hideout. And we always appreciate you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you so much.
Thank you, gents. You guys are the best. Continue to have the awesome show you do.
No promises.
See you, Tim.
Well, no promises. another event happening is Saving America 2024, the economy and the courts with Joel Griffith and Zach Smith from the Heritage Foundation. That's June 25th at the St. Charles Funny Bone. It is free, but get a ticket anyway so we know you're coming, okay? Go to newstalkstl.com for that. Man, we haven't heard any of Trump's voice on this show in way too long.
So let's play something.
Can you do something about that for me?
I sure can.
All right, that's next on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk SDL. Number one for live and local conservative talk and George Soros free.
Whoosh. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Who can believe that they allow this to happen to our country?
Now, who can
can believe that they would do this?
Oh, is that it?
Yep.
I'm sorry. It sounded like his inflection sounded like he was going to go on to something else. President Trump at a recent rally, you know, Ken, they tried all these things to make him unpopular, right? Indictments, trial, all this stuff. And everything they've tried has been the opposite effect. His rating, his approval numbers go up.
Yeah.
Poll numbers go up. And people are just flocking to his, to President Trump's rallies, you know. 100,000 people in Wildwood, New Jersey. That number still blows me away.
Well, what blows me away is that the left media, and it's pretty much all the media, I mean, even Fox News to a degree,
mm-hmm.
they are really perplexed by how the American people could possibly, how dare you do something like this? Vote for that man. He's evil. He's Hitler. Look at this guy is trying to do. This guy is trying, Vic, this guy is true, Vic. Donald Trump is trying to keep people from coming across that border. He's going to send them back, Vic. He is a racist.
Xenophobe.
He's a xenophobic racist.
You know, I they're so desperate. And I get it, okay? You and I do this show, and we are completely biased, right?
Right.
Completely biased.
Based on facts and policies.
Absolutely right. Yes, but it goes back to my point that there is not one human in this country that is not biased in
totally
some way.
Totally agree with you, 100%. Yes.
That's why when they say we have nonpartisan committee, bullshit
stuff,
because there is no one not biased.
You're right.
And what you were joking about right there is how could they like this guy who put more money in our pocket, made it easier to buy groceries, right? Who actually got the insulin down to $35.
He was the one.
Yeah, and Biden's trying to take credit for that, right? But the media, now we're biased. I'm saying this from two guys who are very, very biased. But the left on MSNBC, I don't know who this lady is. She just appeared out of nowhere in my world. She does nights. And maybe she does the Maddow show when Maddow's not on, because he's only on like one night a week, I think. But she was talking about Donald Trump. What's he going to do with this debate? He's not even going to be able to stand up for 90 minutes. He can't even string two sentences together. I'm like, what guy are you talking about?
I know.
They really, truly, and they have so few listeners. How many, they have, what are they, dozens of listeners?
They probably have tens.
Tens of listeners.
Tens, I tell you. Tens, I
it
tell
just
you.
Gets, it just gets so out of control. And I get it. You're a biased network, but at least what we say here is are facts, you know.
That's all we do. And if something we're not sure about, like you said it before, and I've had to look, you know, oh, we're not sure about that number, let's go look. We're not sure about that stance on their position, let's go look,
right?
You know, we do that. But on these major stations that they're supposed to be, like MSNBC and NBC, I mean, these people, they're supposed to have, They're the gold standard, right?
Yep.
Well, they're not, because they're lying. They lie.
Well, Rachel Maddow was on the View yesterday, I think, or the day before, and she's telling people she's worried, she's concerned that Donald Trump is going to come after her and lock her up and put her in a concentration camp somewhere. Why didn't he do that when he was first elected, if he was going to do that?
Exactly right. Well, now they're saying, because to answer what you just said, they're saying, well, now he's been triggered. Now something happened to him. He lost it at the very end when the insurrection and J6 happened. That's what they're saying, Vic. But I've got story after story I've been giving you all week of situations where the Department of Justice is going after old women, Catholics, going after people for no good reason, but they're coming to their houses and intimidating them to stop saying what they're saying. That's exactly what the Obama-Biden administration is doing right now. They're saying this stuff because they know that they're doing it.
Yeah.
Trump, he's not going to do this stuff because he's got too much stuff to do.
Yeah. So I used to work with a girl. I'm not going to say her name. I already said her gender, so we know it's a girl. And total lib, right? And on the night that Donald Trump was elected president, she puts on her Facebook, I'm very worried about my gay and Muslim friends because Donald Trump was elected.
Yeah.
I'm like, first of all, can you list all the gay and Muslim friends that you have?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, all of them.
They try to make themselves look like they're Mother Teresa, you know?
Right.
All my gay and Muslim friends. All your gay friends are okay, right? They didn't ship them off to any camp, shave their head, put them on a train, nothing like that.
No.
Muslims, they didn't get thrown out of the country or anything like that, right? I mean, they're so full of it. And this is just a local person right here in St. Louis, or used to be, who said, I'm a fear for my gay and Muslim friends. It's just so ridiculous. All right. I'm sorry, Ken. We haven't heard Donald Trump, and 17 seconds is just not going to do it. So if you could throw in number 23 for me, that would be fun. Ladies and gentlemen, number 45 and 47, Donald John Grover Cleveland Trump.
But DACA, we want to take care of DACA, and I hope we will. We need the support of the Democrats in order to do it, and they might not want to do it. They talk like they do, but I don't think they do, but we're going to find out very soon. We want something that is very, very tough and strong in terms of the border. We need to end chain migration, and we need to cancel the terrible visa lottery. And those are the four pillars that I talked about the other night. We call them the White House framework, a plan that will finally bring our immigration system into the 21st century. The Republican position on immigration is the center, mainstream view of the American people, with some extra strength at the border and security at the border added in. What we're asking for, and what the American people are pleading for, is sanity and common sense in our immigration system. We want immigration rules that protect our communities, defend our security, and admit people who will love our country and contribute to our society.
That was at the Turning Point USA event. Donald Trump, everything he says makes sense, of course. Chain migration, all that stuff. It's got to have a, you know, we handled immigration so much better with less technology.
Yeah.
You know, my grandfathers came here from Italy, did it the right way, went to Ellis Island, became citizens, all that stuff.
Because they respected the country.
And they did it the way they were supposed to do it. It's a different, and all the technology is now, but don't you worry. Hold on, he's coming.
Because I'm standing up for you.
Thank you, Mr. President. 22 and 24, 45 and 47.
Yep.
Grover Cleveland and Donald Trump. All right, can I just, 9 minutes ago, this is completely switching gears here, but I think it's important. Our great friend, Karen Cataline, retweeted something from Josh Dunlop, who is the mayor of Macedonia,
he says. Okay.
He's trying to steal your title.
All right.
Karen says, how many people still don't know this because propaganda media doesn't want you to? And it's when Hillary Clinton referred to Margaret Sanger as her mentor.
Yes.
And then there's a picture of Margaret Sanger and Ku Klux Klan guys with the hoods on, right? It says, the woman in this photograph is Margaret Sanger, founder of Planned Parenthood, meeting with the Ku Klux Klan in 1926 in Silver Lake, New Jersey. I apologize for that part of New Jersey doing that. A strong advocate of eugenics, Sanger preached mass extinction of inferior races by mass abortions. And let's call it what it is. She said she wanted to rid the world of the Negro population. Those are her words.
And in her own words, she called them human weeds. That was her term for them. And Planned Parenthood was created to get rid of the black population. I don't know why they don't understand, why people don't promote this.
I just don't understand how anyone can still follow, admire, vote for Hillary Clinton when she said in 2016, I'm going to close all those coal mines.
Right.
Did she think she was going to win Pennsylvania, West Virginia with comments like that?
I don't know.
And then say that Margaret Sanger is her mentor and get even one vote by one black person?
But when you have the media behind you, they don't say that. They're not promoting that. They're not promoting Margaret Sanger and her stance on everything. They don't do it, Vic.
So then people have to do it themselves, Ken. people have to go out there and find the truth, find the information. This is the age of technology we're in here. We're in 2024. If you even hear of anything questionable about Hillary Clinton, then you need to go find out about it. This picture didn't pop up out of nowhere. This photograph has been here since 1926.
Right. And Margaret Sanger's speeches have been around forever. So
now, getting back to our side, why aren't we planting this picture with this caption everywhere that Hillary Clinton walks and talks?
No, we should be. When the Congress gets together and they say, well, we need to defund Planned Parenthood. They don't say why. Mm-hmm. They say, okay, because they're doing abortions. But they don't go deeper. They need to go deeper. They need the American people to understand why this was created in the first place.
So somebody, what you're saying is somebody needs to say that during a debate.
Yes.
A national debate.
Yeah, it needs to get out there why it's happening.
During the abortion conversation.
Exactly right.
Because why did we get our asses kicked in 2022, Ken? Abortion.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Roe was overturned. Dobbs decision. We got our asses kicked in the election. It was in that order.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I get so frustrated, and I'm sure I'm not the only conservative radio host that gets frustrated, but somebody's got to do something about it, you know?
Somebody. Dan Bongino gets pissed off every day.
But sometimes I feel like we're in an echo chamber. We're preaching to the choir.
It'll get out. Just keep going.
People listen to this show who believe in what we believe in on our side. I think the objective is to get to people who are not on our side and tell them the truth about people like Hillary Clinton.
And that's when they say, you need to get out. You need to talk to people. We need to walk around to different and knock on doors. Remember how many guests we've had this week alone where they say, get out and knock on doors.
Knock on doors of black people with this picture.
Yeah.
How's that?
Yes.
Go knock on every person that you know that's black. Knock on their door and say, you see this? Margaret Sanger, Hillary Clinton's mentor, wanted to kill all you black people.
Yeah, all of them.
All right, I'm done. Mark Carter from the St. Louis County Council with an entourage or something today is next on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk.
Like us on Facebook at News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Made in St. Louis, for St. Louis. It's News Talk STL.
Mean ghetto's peppers. Forget about it.
Forget about it.
Hey, lots of stuff going on here at the radio station. Saving America 2024, the economy and the courts with Joel Griffith and Zach Smith. We've had Joel Griffith on the show. Zach Smith, you can hear weekly with Tim Jones and Chris Arps. Love listening to that guy talk. June 25th at the St. Charles Funny Bone. That's like June 25th. Ken, that's so close to now.
Almost.
It?
It's like 6 days away.
My God. At the St. Charles Funny Bone. It is free. Just register so we know you're coming. All right. That's it. St. Charles Funny Bone, June 25th. Saving America 2024.
All rise.
From the county of St. Louis.
Crime issues, economic development.
This is Mark Harder.
With Mike Archer. You got to earn those trumpets, Mike, okay?
Hey, I'm trying. I'm wearing the toga that you guys made me wear from wardrobe.
Wow.
To walk behind Mark.
Mike Archer coming with his own material. Mike Archer is running for the county council, running against Ernie Trakas, who is a Republican, I guess.
In half.
A little squishy. But, you know, so can I start with Mike?
Sure.
Mark Carter shows you, by the way.
Good to meet you guys.
Nice to see you, too.
Nice to see you. Haven't seen you in 2 weeks.
Yeah. So, please, I'm asking you, as a buddy, as a friend, we're friends now, right?
I hear you.
So many guys in this state run as a Republican. Then they get, we're talking legislature now, not necessarily county council. And then they get down there, and then they vote with the Democrats, and they completely screw up a supermajority.
Right.
So, are you making me a promise right now? If you get elected to the county council, that you'll remain conservative thinking and voting.
You know, I'm going to make that promise to you, and I've made that promise to the voters as well, Vic. And, you know, it's a situation of where we've got a voting block. Mark is in that voting block with Dennis Hancock, mm-hmm. Shalonda Webb, and Rita Days, the four. And then the page
the kooks.
The page voting block is Ernie Trakas, Lisa Clancy, and Kelly Dunaway, the one that got sworn in on a Dr. Seuss book.
That's right, she did. Didn't she?
Mm-hmm. So, and the other thing that you have to kind of keep in the back of your mind is that he has never voted to override one of Sam Page's vetoes. With that constitution on the council, what happens is that Page is now veto-proof. Once I get on the council, there's going to be five, mm-hmm. maybe even Gretchen Bangert going against him as well, too.
Love that.
With a Democrat. Mark was telling you a little bit about what was going on there. But, you know, the question that I have is, why is Ernie so far into Sam Page's pocket?
Yeah, why?
And I would say that it's that $60,000 lawsuit. There was a $60,000 sexual harassment lawsuit filed against Ernie Trakas. And then Sam Page wrote the check for $60,000 to get him out from under it. Now, Mark can correct me if I'm wrong, but the county executive, part of his powers is to settle lawsuits, and he doesn't have to have the advice and the consent of the council to do that. Mm-hmm. So he could just write the check without even conferring with the county council. And that $60,000 of your taxpayer money is what is a real problem. And I think Sam Page has a real problem not understanding that he is a steward of taxpayer money. Just like, you know, we were talking about before we went on air about the fact that he was offering Gretchen Bangert a job, public money that our taxes are paying for, that so that she would drop out of the race so that his anointed candidate, Greer, would be on there and be sympathetic to his causes. And that, you know, I just find that repugnant.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the big story this past weekend. If the listeners picked up on that in the Post-Dispatch, there was a story that Page, through multiple conversations with a Democrat candidate in the second district, trying to convince her to step out of that race and offering her jobs within his administration so that she would step out of that race, which would change the primary for August for that race, and would favor his candidate that he wants to win to replace Kelly Dunaway. Right. So it's just a crazy thing, and I hope the feds are listening to this whole
issue. I was going to say, pardon my ignorance, but is that all legal?
It doesn't look like it. And if at best, it stinks. And so I think people see through that. And
do they, though? Do they?
I don't know. They got to listen to your station.
I would love to say, yeah, you're right, Mark. People see through that. I thought people would have saw through all the crap that Joe Biden is saying. But people still got to vote for him somehow.
That's right. That's right. And they will. And they will. And they'll still vote for Page. If he was up for election, they'd probably vote for him, too, as much as everybody complains about him. So, yeah, it's very frustrating when you're on the other side and the receiving end of some of this. Why this keeps going, and this whole issue, this is about as blatant as it gets. And Miss Bangert, who's part of this, she recorded his conversation. So the Post-Dispatch actually had the whole transcript of that transaction and him trying to persuade her to drop out of the race, and he would offer her a job.
Wait a minute. This article was in the Post-Dispatch?
It was in the Post-Dispatch,
wow,
yes.
Wow, that's weird. Joe Holloman, right?
Joe Holloman's is the reporter on this. And so he's done a good job of bringing this together. Like I said, there was three conversations, of which one, the last one, was recorded because Ms. Bangert felt very uncomfortable about this whole transaction and why he was pushing so hard to get her off of the primary ballot.
All right. So much to do here.
I mean, it's just like Chicago all over again.
It is Chicago all over again. So let's continue with you, Mark, and then we'll get back to you, Mike, in a second here. Fill us in on anything wild that happened last night, or is everything peaceful? Or
no, well, this issue came up, and we had Dennis Hancock and myself, we commented on this whole article and how unfortunate it is and how it just puts another black eye on St. Louis County politics. But it also, I think, emphasizes the need for what I'm proposing, which is a countywide manager to our government, and changing our government so that we get a professional manager that can't give out jobs, that can't make these promises to people, and that can run the government like a business, so to speak, that things get done and not being potholes and other things being politicized. We should be able to fix things, make things work with a professional manager. And that's what I'm advocating for. And we're going to have to change our charter to do that. But I've got putting forth legal information that will be hopefully given out next Tuesday night to start the discussion on how we get our government to a manager form of a government instead of a county executive leading type of government.
Yeah. All right, Mike, back to you. Mike Archer is with us, too. He's going to candidate for St. Louis County Council, going up against Ernie Trakas. Your background is a prosecutor, right?
Yes.
So can you tell me the difference between coming into a situation like this and running for a county council, or any office for that matter, being a prosecutor and not being a prosecutor? I feel like prosecutors are a little bit more clear thinking.
And I kind of put my thought in the clearer thinking camp. You know, it's a situation where I feel like I'm getting ready for a trial. I'm going out, I'm talking to people, I'm getting information, I'm doing my investigation, I'm finding out what people want, what people don't want. Classic example is that I got a call from residents of Mullally and Jeffley, and they said, we've been trying to get a hold of Ernie Trakas for the last 3 months, emails, nothing, phone calls, nothing. And that was on a voicemail, and what happened was that was on a Friday prior to Memorial Day weekend. Robin and I were out knocking doors and talking with people. I called him back on Saturday, and he said, my God, you called me back within 24 hours. And I said, well, get used to it. If I'm going to be on the county council, I'm going to be very, very open and honest and forthright. And they said, would you come to a function that we have? And I said, yeah. So I went and we talked, and there was probably about 35, maybe 40 people there. We talked, and I said, you know, I'm a private citizen, but I understand your concerns. Lo and behold, 5 days later, guess who shows up? Because it made the press. Ernie shows up. And I was just following up with one of the ladies, and I said, hey, how did that go? And she said, can you still get me 14 yard signs?
That's great. That's
so
great.
So yeah, and you know, in answer to your question, I think it's analogous. And the other thing that is kind of overriding everything is that as a prosecutor, you're serving the citizens of St. Louis County.
Yeah. So you're no longer a prosecutor?
I am no longer a prosecutor.
Do you still have prosecutor buddies and friends?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I have been talking with them about this issue. And I've got prosecutor buddies and friends in the U.S. Attorney's Office who shall remain nameless.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And I
so
can't.
Is it, has anybody, all right, I don't even know how to word this without getting anybody into trouble here. Why hasn't Sam Page been prosecuted for some of the draconian laws that he put into place during COVID for people of St. Louis County?
Oh, you know, that is a really good question. And especially when you look at St. Charles County, when you look at Jefferson County, they did so much better with less, you know, with less restrictions. Now then, you know, in terms of prosecuting him, you know, under a quo warranto that he didn't have the authority or power, I would probably say that's going to be thin at best. That he was acting within the scope of his duties. But, you know, the voters also have a say in that too, come election time.
Well, you know what? Let's do it. You know, I mean, Sam Page, the last election, I made the mistake of saying, you know, I think Jane Duker could beat Sam Page. And Tim Jones gave me that movie Western turn to look at me like, what are you, an idiot? But I don't know. I don't want to talk about that.
I hear you.
What else, Mark, do we need to
know? Well, the big thing is that, you know, we have a primary election coming up and a general election coming up this year. And people in your listening audience need to get out and vote. We need to motivate people to get out and vote so that their issues are being reflected in their candidates. And so in the case of Mike's election, he has a primary in August, so he needs people to get out and vote in South County in his election, August 6th. I've got a primary for Senate August 6th, and we need people in West County to get out and vote for me. And so, and then we're going to face, you know, our Democrat opponents in November. And so all these things have to happen. People just can't sit on the sidelines and wait for things to happen. We need to get them out and vote. And that's why we're knocking doors and getting people motivated to come out and vote.
And Mike, you're in my, I guess I'm in your area, right? Afton?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes. So,
we'll take care of that.
Yeah. So Ken can vote multiple times in Afton.
I think the difference is going to be turnout.
It always is.
Yeah.
You know, whoever gets their people out wins. And so you got to motivate people to get out for a candidate, do the things, put the yard signs out, do the door knocking, do the literature drops so that people are motivated to get out and take that extra time to go and vote. August 6th.
Come on, Melville, Oakville, right, where I went to Melville.
That's right. Got to get people out to vote.
Let's go.
Your campaign website?
My campaign website is markfarmissouri.com.
Is that letter of
F-O-R.
And you have one?
Archerforcountycouncil.com.
Sure. Great to meet you, Mike.
Good meeting you, too.
Give him hell, okay?
I am going to do that.
You, too.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
Always good
all
to see you. That's it. That's our Wednesday. Appreciate you both coming in. Thank you so much for having the record player on at night to listen to us this morning.
Make sure you have the record player on at night.
Dan Bongino is next. He'll take you throughout this mid-morning and afternoon. Kenny and I will see you tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock, and we'll do it all over again for a Thursday. I want to talk to Karen Catalina about that picture that she retweeted.
Yeah.
And Margaret Sanger. Because people don't understand. People don't know. On 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL, welcome home.
Whoosh.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.